Hallelujah. Yeah, so today we are looking at the subject titled Practicing Agape, Part 1. Yes, and I want us to pay close attention to the word practicing. That means we are here to learn how to practice, how to exercise agape. In the last two midweek services, we talked about what is love. We also emphasized the fact that love is the new law. It is a law. And when something is a law, it is binding. You don't have like a choice. You have to live by it. And that is why agape love cannot be compared to any other kind of love. Because it is binding. It is not, oh, I feel like, I don't feel like, so I'm going to do it. It is binding. It is a law. So today we'll go further into our love walk. And like I said, we'll be talking about practicing agape. The word today has attached different meanings, different definitions to the word love, right? And there are different expressions of the word love as well. But our focus today is the God kind of love. I'm tempted to say that this God kind of love, it makes some personal meaning to me, because I remember I had shared something with Pastor David that I wrote this, the God kind of love, down somewhere. And I'm privileged to be the one to now talk about this kind of love on a special day as today. So, there are many reasons why the word of God is called a mirror, right? When we listen to the word of God, it's not another religious practice, another religious activity. The word of God is a mirror because it shows us who we are, and it points out the areas where we need to make adjustments, so that we can intentionally make those adjustments. So again, we are dwelling on the topic practicing agape today. That means we are looking into the word of God to see what does the word of God say about love, this agape love, this the God kind of love, and how do we walk in it? How do we practice it? So we'll look into the scriptures. Our first scripture will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 13. We'll be reading together so that nobody will sleep off while I'm... Yeah. 1 Corinthians, okay, we have it. Let's read together. 1, 2. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's read it one more time. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. So our focus in this verse is charity, right? But the charity we mean here, again, is the God kind of charity. It's not the kind of charity where you go to an orphanage home, right? You give to the needy, you buy toilet roll, you buy Indomie. What else do we normally buy? Maybe spaghetti, you know, maybe Pampers if they have children. That is not the focus of today's teaching, right? Because the definition of charity, literally, it means free benevolent for humanity, right? So anybody can be charitable. Even politicians are charitable when they want something, right? When it's time for elections, politicians would usually share rice, because rice is a staple food that everybody eats. So everybody is interested in collecting rice. So anybody can be charitable. But this God kind of love called agape is different. You know, I remember many years ago, just to further explain how this love is different from this love is different from charity, right? The charitable activities that everyone understands. Many years ago, I was preparing for an exam, and I don't know why, for some reasons, there was a passage. So it's an exam to get into uni, right? So they had this passage, you read the passage, and then you would answer question. Your question can be yes or no, or I can't answer. So it's possible that from the passage you don't have an answer, right? And I remember one passage I read while I was practicing. That passage talks about a word called, or people that are said to be altruistic. I hope I'm pronouncing it very well. But we'll explain the meaning of that word. It means that someone who would do something without expecting anything in return. So like, you just do it for the, there's no benefits whatsoever, whether it's physical benefits, whether it is a feeling that it gives you, whether it makes you feel good. And the conclusion in that passage is that humans are normally, naturally, not truly altruistic, right? People who end up doing these charitable things we talk about, they have a reason why they do it. There's something it does to them. There's a benefit that eventually comes to them. It could be a feeling of, oh, I'm giving to the poor. And in this day and age of social media, it could also be, oh, let me just be doing good, you know. But again, this is not, anybody can do that, right? But the God kind of love is the kind of love that does something without expecting anything in return. So imagine somebody who goes to give charity, and then the charity people, they don't even acknowledge him or something. Maybe he will even make a case out of it. Maybe he will even go back and collect whatever he took there, right? But the God kind of love is the kind of love you express, whether the person is deserving of it, whether the person even appreciates you. The God kind of love is the example of the love that Jesus Christ shown unto us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And now, as we become transformed and we become more and more like him, we're expected to practice the same kind of love. So let's move further in our teaching. Like I said, there are different kinds of love, right? The charitable type, there's filio, there's the human love, which is, and there's also brotherly love is one that is called filio. But the God kind of love is the meaning of agape. So let's read from John chapter 13, verse 35, to further explain this subject, the God kind of love. John chapter 13, verse 35. We'll be reading together as well. So let's go. 1, 2. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Have you ever wondered, after reading this, I'm sure some of us, we've read this part of the Bible many times. After reading this part of the Bible, have you ever wondered if you are truly a disciple? Right? Can people actually see you and say, oh, I can see this kind of love, and I know that the only place this kind of love can come from is from somebody who is in Christ. Right? So, but the Bible says that the unique identifier, permit me to use that word, of the disciples of Jesus is when they show this kind of love one to another. But let's read further. Let's read 1 John chapter 4 and from verse 7. We'll read verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Let's read together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Wow. If you claim that you know God and you don't love, then maybe you're a liar, right? Because the Bible says, if you don't love, then you don't know God, for God is love. God is love. There's a popular saying that says, an apple does not fall far from the tree. How can you say someone that you don't look like is your father, right? God is love. Our Heavenly Father is love. And if we claim that we know God, then we're expected to love. So let's move on, right? So, like I said, from the last 2 weeks, if you've been following the teaching, it says that we've seen that God is love, and every one of us has received the life of God in us, right? When we receive God, we receive his life in our hearts. So that means that this subject or this thing called agape love is something that comes from the inside out. It starts from your heart. It's not from the outside into your heart. It is something in you, the life of God that you have received, that helps you to love the way Christ has loved us. Right? So we are born out of love. Even the new life that we have in Christ is out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So there is no excuse for a believer not to love. Because if you have received that nature, you should be able to, your nature, it should be innate to you. It should be something that comes naturally to you. And I think this is where the word of God becomes flesh. When something is flesh, like it becomes a part of you, it becomes something that you do naturally. And it's not something that you're doing forcefully. It comes to you, it just comes to you naturally. But even at that, we find out that these days, many Christians, they don't practice this agape love. Many Christians don't practice this agape love. Why? Because the scripture says that you should not quench the spirit. There are many times when you have a sensing to respond to a situation in a certain way. But you know, every time you silence that voice, then you're going further away from moving, from making progress towards where the Holy Spirit is pointing you to. And this applies to the practice of agape love as well. I will share a personal experience. When we start talking about love is kind, love is patient, we'll still get there. Right? Or maybe I should just share it now. So, let's say in a week, I meet like 5 new people. And when I say new people, I meet 5 new people because usually 5 new people that will just be me and them in one space. Because usually in the mornings, I'm usually kind of like in a hurry to get to work. They catch late comers at work. So I don't have the time to walk from my house, wait for like cab. So I usually like just take taxi, right? And I realized that God has been dealing with me, because sometimes when those people are taking you in the morning, they drive as if you are not going anywhere. And I'm like, okay. Sometimes I'm always calm. And then I will tell them calmly, I say, can we please move faster? I'm a bit in a hurry. It appears as though anytime I decide to make that statement, can we please move faster? That's when they slow down the pace. It's like, who is this small girl that is telling us to move faster? Please, it's whenever we get there that we get there, or we don't send you. And you know, the app will allow you to rate the driver, right? So usually I'm usually fuming inside me like, oh God, I should have got it to work by 7:59:59. As long as you get to work before 8, you're not late. But this driver, in fact, he will see that the traffic light is about to be green. That's when he will be slowing down. And I'm like, please, can we move faster? At some point, I used to have like hypertension. I'm like, can we move faster so that we can beat the traffic light? They will not even answer me. I'm like, who is this guy? Move faster. Please. You know, so in my mind, I'll be fuming. I'll be like, okay, no problem. And we get to our destination. Maybe I can rate you 1 star. 1 star with plenty negative comments. In fact, I will take my time. The moment I get to the office, I drop my bag. I will just take my time and type that comment. I don't want to ever see this driver again. Driver was rude. The driver was not nice. Driver was this. Do you know that many times when I make all those plans in my head that's what I'm going to do, as I'm approaching my office, something will just tell me and say, be kind. Be kind. You don't have to give these negative comments. If you want to get to work early, maybe you should leave the house early. Instead of blaming it on the driver, you know. And each time that voice comes, I tell myself, I've changed though. God has changed me. Me, Jesu Gotan Victoria Fadikpe. Hey, in fact, the comment I will write, I'm sure the Uber people, they will call me, they will say, madam, we are sorry, we apologize, how can we help? In fact, let's give you credit, 5,000 naira, for your next ride, it will be free. But, you know, I've had to like let go of all of that, because I'm like, sometimes I see these drivers, they're just trying to make ends meet. So imagine that you are giving them negative comments. You are indirectly spoiling their business, right? How will they continue the business? So God has been putting that in my heart. And I'm happy that I've been yielding, because I remember another personal story. There's a friend that I met 3 years ago. I met that friend again in December. I was like, you have changed. I'm like, you have changed. So it's possible that me and you will talk, will not even argue about anything. You have changed, though. I'm like, yes, I've changed. God is changing me. And I'm happy about the new me, right? So that is what happens when you're practicing love, right? Because these people are people, I don't know them from anywhere. Of course, if I write negative, I might never meet them again. If I write negative comment about them, nothing will happen. I'll just probably move on with my life. But it's even those kind of people that they don't really have anything to give you, right? That is where your test of love, that's where it really shows. Not the people that say, Susan, now, if I do something to Susan now, she will just be, okay, I have to show her love. But how about the strangers? The people that you might never have anything, your path might never cross again, right? So that is the practice of love. As you have all those prompting in your heart, let go of this thing. Be nicer. Be kind. Be patient. Your ability to respond. You know, one thing talking about how I've changed, patience. I remember when Pastor was giving the example about how some people, you literally just crawl into heaven, carry them on your back and say, God, I beg, I don't pass this test of patience. Because these people, they will test your patience. And I noticed that recently I've had a lot of people like that around me, like people that I'll just be sighing. Just be sighing. Say, God, please help me. Teach me to be patient. And each time I'm able to just, you know, it looks like small victory, small win. Yeah, today I was able to maintain my calm with this person. God, I thank you. Moving on to the next step, you know, and all of that. So that is exactly how God expects us to practice this agape love, is step by step, right? I will also like us to talk about the nature that has been put in our hearts. So if something is a nature that has been put inside your heart, right? It means that there's a working that goes on inside your heart as well, right? There's something working in you. And this is the prompting that I've explained, that each time you're about to take a wrong step, each time you're about to rehearse, respond the way you're not supposed to, there's a prompting that comes. And again, each time you respond to that prompting, you're taking a step closer to, you know, becoming more like Jesus, how he loved, how he expects us to love, and that's how you will keep on practicing this agape. You know, we are striving on to perfection. There will not be a time when you stop learning or practicing agape love. And I will show us why I said there won't be a time when you would feel like you have attained. I'm such a loving. There's no need to practice again. Let's move on, right? So let's look at Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Okay, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You can read with me, please. I still don't want anybody to sleep. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's read it again so that you can shout louder. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I want us to pay attention to the word, the phrase, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What does it mean for something to be shed abroad? Like something is spreading. It's spreading. There's a spreading. It keeps spreading. And I go back to my explanation of how as you're practicing, you realize that you become more loving and more loving and more loving and more loving. And again, who is the helper that helps us to practice? Who brings this prompting? Who brings this prompting when we want to make a decision? The Holy Spirit. And the Bible has told us that this is the way to practice agape love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So if you have the Holy Ghost in your heart, one of the assignments of the Holy Ghost is to spread the love of God in your heart. It will ensure that God's love takes over your heart. When you spread butter on top of bread, it takes over the bread. Right? So when the love of God is shared abroad across your heart, it takes over your heart. There is no room for bitterness. There is no room for enmity. There is no room for hatred. It takes over everything. It dominates. And then, you know, when you spread butter very well across bread, the bread is sweet. You realize that there's a joy that comes to you. And that joy is from the inside. You know, I was doing a Bible reading plan, and there's this particular plan that they have a summary that you can listen to. And there's a phrase they usually use when you're done listening to that, the summary, like they just try to explain what you've read in the Bible. They said, is where the joy is. There's a joy that comes from, you know, to be honest, like I said, I will use myself as an example. Right? This message is first of all for me because I'm still work in progress. God is still working on me. Some days ago, I was still having a conversation with two of my colleagues at work. And and they were like, Victoria, you need to be more patient. Victoria, you need to be more patient. And I'm like, okay, on Wednesday, I'm going to teach about how love is patient, you know. But trust me, I'm a much more better person than the person I used to be, right? And I can feel the joy. I can feel the joy. I remember my younger sister would always tell me and say, my younger sister is somebody that has been very influential in my Christian work. She's like 7 years younger than I am, but she's somebody that I listen to a lot. I'm sure she's even listening now, right? And I respect a lot. She says, yeah, okay, they don't call me Victoria at all. She will say, Auntie Bogo, I just want to, you know, I know that I'm young, but I just want to encourage you. You need to understand that everybody cannot be like you. Everybody cannot be like you. And you also need to understand that everything that you are, everything that you have is a gift that has been given to you by God. So if you find something that you have and you don't find it in somebody else, it is not a reason for you to feel like, to be honest, like she say, sometimes Auntie Bogo, you just, this person is slow. She just look at me and say, Auntie Bogo, no now. Everybody cannot be like you. And trust me, the experiences I'm sharing today, those are some of the things that they are top of my mind in my daily living. Top of my mind. This thing that she said, she might not even remember that she said it to me, but it stays in my mind. So when I'm at that point, there's a prompting that, calm down. And then I remember the words she has spoken to me as well, and I'm like, God, just help me, you know. So the love of God, the Holy Spirit helps us. it will ensure that love takes over our heart. And there's a joy that comes from that. Maybe even the agape love, there's a benefit to it, right? There's a joy. There's a joy. There's a joy that you feel. Just realize, this joy is too much, you know. So, if you have the Holy Ghost, then you have God's love in you. And agape is your nature. I want you to say after me, I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. He draws inside of me. And I have God's love inside me. Agape is my nature. Oh, say it like you mean it. Oh, agape is my nature. Agape is my nature. Okay, so let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. So we'll be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We all know that passage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, right? So we'll take them one by one. We'll try to just explain them as fast as possible. Our time is fast spent. Okay, still have a bit of time. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So let's just stop here, right? So the fruit of the Spirit, you cannot, there's a part of the Bible that says a fruit that is not bearing fruit, they should cut it down, right? So there's a fruit that you must bear when you have the Holy Spirit, and one of it is love. So your show of love is one of the testaments that you have the Holy Spirit, right? So let's look at another scripture. We'll still come back to talk about, you know, fruit of the Spirit. No, we'll talk about what love is, right? So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 9 to 10. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 9 to 10, we can read it together. It says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Let's pause here. I want us to pay attention to the phrase, for ye yourselves are taught of God. How is it that we are taught of God? And I also want you to pay attention. It didn't say, for ye yourselves have been taught of God. Like, it has been done and it is over. It says, ye yourselves are taught of God. Meaning that it's a continuous process. Right? Ye are taught of God. How are you taught of God? There is the Holy Spirit in you. He's teaching you. He's prompting you. And that process is continuous. It's not a one-time process. Right? Ye yourselves have been taught. No, ye are taught continuous to love one another. Let's look at verse 10. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Somebody says, how is it profitable to you if the only people you show love to are the people that maybe you can benefit from? Maybe you just show love. I just show love to only Susan. I show love to only Sophie. Okay, we're in the same unit, you know. How does that benefit you? So the admonition here is that this love, this agape love, you need to increase, you need to do more. Show love first to the people who are of the household of faith, and then to other people that are around you, right? So he says, love is something that we should be known for, right? We should be known for, still explaining the previous verse that we read, the verse that we read, that's the verse 9. It says, love is something that we should be known for because the nature of God within us should teach us to love. Right? And you should not stop at, again, just loving your brethren, loving the people around you, your family members, you know. You should progress and increase and get better in walking in love. And this is where the practice comes in. Because it might be easy for you to love people that are around you, the immediate people that are around, the people you see every day, the people that, you know. But how about those people that, well, you love them, you don't love them. It would not really matter, right? Maybe it would seem like it would not really matter. So we are admonished to practice this love and extend it to everyone. The love that does not expect anything in return, right? There are many people in the church. They go to church, but they are loveless, right? You know, every time I post things on my maybe WhatsApp status, maybe I share sermon excerpts, or maybe I share like a sermon or something. And even in my workplace, I'm always like, I hope that I won't be one of those people that they will say, eh, nah, them. Those people where they carry church for head, they don't even get any character. And that is what you see in our day today, where the people who look holy, in quotes, they are the ones scattering everywhere. They are the most troublesome people in their workplace. They are the most unkind people, right? Every time I'm always like, every time I'm praying, I'm like, God, help me to be a true ambassador. There's a hymn, you know, the church where I grew up, we sing hymns a lot, right? There's a hymn that says, let others see Jesus in you. Let your life be the book that people are reading, right? I remember when we went for one of the evangelism, I was preaching to somebody and he was sharing his own testimony and saying, ah, it's true. There was a time in his life that he was taking his work with God so seriously. And, you know, at that time, even everyone is somebody who probably sells things, you know, in an open market, that everyone would come and say, ah, you don't they change, Joe. You don't they change. And we know, say, get that church where they always go, they always pray, they always do this. We won't follow you, go there. Right? So, and he says at that time he didn't have much, but it was somebody who would share and all of that. If I can't attest to his work with God, right? But if unbelievers they can do these things, how much more we Christians, that the basis of our Christianity, the foundation of our Christianity itself is love, right? So we should be the ones practicing this love such that when people see us, when they see our lives, they will be able to, they will not tie it to anything else. They will know that, oh, no, this is even beyond ordinary, right? There is more to it, and they want to know the more, right? So, a lot of people are loveless in the church, and one will wonder why. Why will you see a tongue-speaking sister, a tongue-speaking brother, Jim-Jim brother, Jim-Jim sister, does not have any altar of love, right? Maybe they are not saved, right? Remember when we're taking the series about assurance of salvation and how pastor was explaining how so many people have been in church, they were born in church. I was telling somebody that I could also pass as somebody that was born in church. Because they gave birth to me on Christmas Day. My mom was literally teaching Bible study, right? And she went into labor. So I can pass as was born in church. So imagine you have spent some decades of your life going to church and you're still not saved, right? Because everything about going to church for you has just been more religion. Okay, let's go to church. Okay, let's go and hear. So it's either they are not saved though, or they are saved, but they have refused to exercise the nature of God's love that is in them. So there's an exercising. There's an exercising. And it's difficult at the beginning. I will not stand here and say it is easy for you to love. It's difficult at the beginning. Do you know that even those some of those people that I decided not to give them my negative comments, sometimes when I'm thinking about my day, I'm like, ah, maybe I should have just written it though. You know, I'm like, ah, can I go back and go and just put the comments there? Because in my mind, I'm like, how will I not give them a piece of my mind? You know, so it's like, if you're one of those people that go to the gym or you exercise, you realize that the first time you decide to go and exercise, I remember when I was in school, right, in university, the school I went to, physical exercise was a course on its own. It was a course. You write exam. You do maybe 70 sit-ups or something. It was a course. I did it from my year 1 to year 3. You will take the course 3 times in a week. Right? And I remember that there were times when I was abscond from the class for like maybe some weeks. The next time maybe I will now abscond and it's almost time to give the exam. And exam now, maybe during the normal course, you are doing 20 of something. Exam, they will say, come and do 70. The next 2 days after giving that exam, I will need somebody to use. I will be looking for a bony kid that is not available for them to, you know, just take away the pain. So it's the same thing. When you start, it's painful. You sometimes feel like a fool. Ah, why did I not respond to this person? Why did I not give them peace of my mind? But after a while, it's no longer a painful experience, right? You have mastered the art. You have mastered the art of being a loving person, right? So, you can practice the love of God and get better with it. So let's move to how do you practice agape love after being saved, right? How do you practice agape love after being saved? So we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right, from verse 4. We'll just try to explain the qualities of love, right? So the first step. The Bible says that if you want to build a house, you count the cost. So there's a beginning place where you decide that you want to start learning and doing agape. And the Bible guides us on how to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting from verse 4. Please, let's read from NLT. Okay, thank you. So, the first one says, love is patient and kind. I've given so many examples about patience and kindness. I've even used myself as example, right? And I've shared many of my experiences and how God has been helping me, right? There's a part of the Bible that says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. We don't need to open it. It says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Right? That's kindness. We are expected to, like, are you the kind of person that when you see someone who is struggling with something, your response is to go and gossip? We be know them. Now them, they don't start. Or is your response to meet that person? Try to understand what the person is going through. Show kindness. Encourage them. The Bible commands, encourages us, admonishes us that we should be the ones to lift up the arm. I wish I could say this thing in Yoruba because, but I know a lot of us don't understand Yoruba. Do you know what it means when they say your hand is hanging down? It's like, maybe it's just a thread that is holding your arm. So instead of somebody to encourage you, help you position the arm very well, person just drag it, pull it. Right? So definitely that is not kindness at all. We're admonished to not be those kind of people. Feeble knees. You just come, just use something, just push the person down. So that is not what is expected of us. And I need to stress that this patience that we are talking about, it does not have anything to do with if you are in an abusive relationship. You now stay there. Say, love is patient. Let me borrow Pastor David's saying. Don't be patient in an abusive relationship until you become a patient in the hospital. So, the wisdom of God is available to direct us, right? So these patients that we're talking about is not the type that will now land you in the hospital. It is the patience you have with people. You're not quick to write them off. Victoria, don't be quick to write people off. Because, like I said, this message is first for me and then for every other person. Right? You're not quick to write people off. I used to be that person that would say, in fact, I had a roommate when I was secondary school. She was my mentor. She was this kind of person that she could just meet somebody and say, I just don't like that person. The person has not done anything. She would just say, I don't like the person. I used to feel like, hey, it's normal now. You can meet people, you just don't like them. Right? So I used to be very protective of my personal space. Anybody that is not looking like my like, we cannot mingle. Because I would tell myself, I don't even have the patience to deal with some kind of people. So I would rather just avoid them altogether. But like I said, God is teaching me patience. So the lesson is breaking my neck, but I'm staying in it. At least I've not written all those people over and say, don't ever call me again in your life. I'll still pick their call. I'll still manage. Okay. God, I know you are testing my patience, but I'll pass this test. This test, I must pass it, right? So don't be quick to write people off. Be that kind of person that is accommodating, you're caring, you show kindness. You're not the person to be the first to spread rumor about somebody. Remember, you should not hand that is hanging with thread. Don't come and look for razor blade and cut down the thread. You should bring a needle and thread and sew it back together so that the hand can stand, right? So love is patient and love is kind. Love is not jealous. Somebody can say, well, me, I'm not jealous. So I'm not jealous. But search deep within your heart. When the people around you, your friends, when it looks like they have a breakthrough, they succeeded at something, are you the kind of person that is genuinely happy for them? Or there's a lot of envy in your heart? You know? And talking about gossiping and rumor, maybe you're not saying, you know, they say it a lot in the workplace, in the corporate world. There's a general phrase, they'll say, you're working in a toxic environment. You know, that kind of environment where everybody is smiling with you, everybody is laughing with you, but they can finish laughing with you at this instance. They've not walked two steps, three steps away from you. They've said something very negative about you, right? So are you that kind of person? Like in the work, it happens a lot. Maybe somebody got a promotion. You will now hear somebody say, it's not even deserving of the promotion. It's just that he knows some so-and-so person because his friend so-and-so person. When God is doing something in your neighborhood, he will reach you. If you're not happy for what God is doing in your neighborhood, how will he reach you eventually, right? So we should rejoice with those who are rejoicing and not allow jealousy to rob us of our own blessing. Because when you rejoice with those who are rejoicing, your own blessing too will come for you, right? When God is in your neighborhood, he's distributing blessing, your own is somewhere. Maybe God is even waiting for your response. But your response is envy, jealousy. You are bad-mouthing the person. You are downplaying the person's achievement. Say, I can even do better than this person, safe. It's just because that day, I went late to work. If it's not that I went late, it would have been me. But you're not happy for the person. And the funny thing is that when that person is passing beside you, you are the first person to say, oh, congratulations. This is well deserved. They say that a lot. This is well deserved. In their mind, they will say, no, person does not deserve anything. No. They will do that. They will say, this is well deserved. You really worked hard. Right? So love is not jealous. So that is not an attribute of love. It is not jealous. Next, it says, love is not boastful or proud. You know, you can interpret this in different ways. You can say, I'm not a proud person. I don't boast. I remember where I will say it, Sophie. Sophie said, Victoria, shall I go and marry? I say, you better be careful what you are wishing for. Because the moment it is about to happen, you will block yourself from my WhatsApp status. Nobody is going, the singles, they will not breathe. Right? So there's a, there's a way you can be just shoving things in people's faces. You're not considerate of their feelings. You know, I like Pastor David. Pastor David once said here that he's a PDA person, no boy. He's always considerate of the feelings of singles. So sometimes when he wants to show affection to Pastor Faith of the Most High, he will just remember that, let me not make single people to feel bad, right? So there can be a way that you talk about yourself, you talk about your achievements, that can borderline pride, you know, boastful. The Bible says all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient, right? There's no law against, you know, every 2 minutes you just post, I just got engaged, glory to God. Can you see the ring? It's a diamond ring, you know. How they used to measure? I don't know. Do you understand? There's no law against it, though. But maybe as you are posting itself, there's one particular person on your status updates that you want to pepper. That girl, she thinks she go marry before me. I don't chance her more. I don't leave her for this single. I don't leave single people behind. You know, carry me, they go, my husband, carry me, they go. You even put song there, right? So, what I'm trying to say is that be considerate of other people's feelings, especially when you're talking about yourself, when you're talking about your achievement. Let it not be that you're boasting. For instance, somebody is sharing a very sad part of their, or something they are struggling with. Somebody says, to do this thing is hard for me. You'd be like, no, me, it's not hard at all. What's there? There's nothing there. It's simple. No, me, in fact, then say, in fact, I don't even have 10,000 Americans. I shall thank God. I thank God. You even use God to shine. I thank God, I have 1 billion in my account. Like, you know, they say God judges the intent of your heart. What is your intent, right? Is it really to give glory to God or to display pride or to boast, right? If you love that person, you will not be proud. You will not boast. In fact, for the fact that the person just shared something that is opposite of your own situation, you will probably just encourage the person. Keep quiet about your own. That's not the time to say, you know, God has been faithful. You know, so love is not proud and love is not boastful. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. I'll keep saying that this is for me. First, God is working on me. He has worked on me so well. I know that I'm so far away from where I used to be, right? Love is not rude. You have to be tactful in the way you talk to people. Choose your words carefully, right? There are moments when you don't even have to say what you want to say at that time, if you're not in the best state of mind. Because again, as we live our lives daily, you have to remember that people that know you, they identify you with Christ. And there's an expectation. You are an ambassador. So if you speak to somebody in a certain way, there's a saying, they say, what will Jesus do? You have to check your heart. If Jesus was here, is this how he would have spoken to this person? You know? So love is not rude. Love is not rude. Tactful, careful, choose your words carefully, speak with grace, right? Not just anyhow. Love does not demand its own way. Love does not demand its own way. You know, there's something about, there's an argument that always says, the only time you agree with somebody else is if the person has a superior argument. You know what that saying does to you? Even though you already concluded that your argument is a superior argument, you realize that you actually didn't listen to the other person's argument. Because you are so, you have already determined, even if you don't agree, that it must be your way. Right? But that is not love. Love is like, let me use it, spread across in your heart. You have a large heart. You can listen to other people. You can listen to other people's perspective about issue. You're not insisting that something must be done in your own way. That is not love. That is not agape love. That is not the kind of love that we're expected to practice and to show to everyone around us. Love is not irritable, right? This love is not irritable. You can connect it to love is not. Usually people who are not patient, they are highly irritable, right? Before you say two sentences, something has moved them from point zero, they're already at point 10. They are irritated because they don't have it in them to accommodate other people, right? So I think we'll stop here for today, right? And my admonition to all of us, including myself first, is that starting from today, this night, you can say after me, I will practice love. I will practice love. I will be patient. I will be kind. I will not be jealous. I will not be boastful. I will not be proud. I have love. I will not be rude. It is in the past. The old me has passed away. A new me is emerging this night. A loving me is emerging this night. The nature of God, the nature of love that is in me is activated this night to full capacity in the mighty name of Jesus. So we have to consciously, intentionally, remember when we talked about love being a law. When something is a law, I don't care how you feel, whether you like it or not, there is an intentionality to walking in that law. So you have to decide today in your consciousness. Of course, as you pray, the Holy Spirit helps you. As you study the word of God, he shows you and says, this is how you are, this is how you should be. And as you keep practicing, you become more and more and more like Jesus. And you will be a true ambassador for him. In Jesus' name. Let's rise up on our feet and just pray. Let's pray in tongues. Let's just pray over the word that we've heard. That the Holy Spirit himself, as he has ministered life unto our hearts, will not be like the man that looks at himself in the mirror and goes away forgetting what he looks like. But that we will consciously walk in love. We will practice this love. This agape love. This God kind of love. We will practice it. We will walk in it consciously.